Well, hey there, it's Deb's the Horoscope Lady on January 31st, 2008, right here on BBS Radio. And I ask this week the same time every week, do you know where your planets are? For instance, the Sun is still in Capricorn. Yes, it has not gotten to Aquarius yet. It is still 17 degrees of Capricorn, along with Chiron, Neptune, and that very retrograde Mercury right there. The node, north node, is in Aquarius, and the south node, I'm going to skip to that, is in Leo. That's where the eclipse is coming up. But if you've got anything in Aquarius or Leo, you're going to be hit harder this month. I'll be talking about that in a bit. Uranus is in Aquarius. Mars finally is gone direct, moving very slowly. But you know what? Men are now acting like men again. It's nice. It's comfortable. They're doing that whole cave guy thing, and that's all right. Just in time for the Super Bowl, of course, and that's 0 degrees of Gemini. Saturn is in Leo. I already mentioned the south nodes, also in Leo, and the moon tonight's in Scorpio. Pluto, Venus, and Jupiter are all in Sagittarius. All those Sagittarians out there are looking pretty foxy. I always recommend when the Venus is in your sign, transiting Venus is in your sign, it's a good time to go and get those passport pictures or headshots, whatever it is you need to have taken, because you always do look kind of nice. And if you're wondering what Sagittarius is supposed to be, it may not be where you think it is. I am a sidereal astrologer. I look at things the same way that Vedic astrologers do, the same way astronomers do, constellation-wise. The difference is between a sidereal, Western sidereal astrologer, and a Vedic astrologer is we use our interpretations like you're living here in the West. You get a lot of free will, a lot of free choice, and quite frankly, things are just different in a lot of ways. So we interpret for the West, but we use the same zodiac as the Vedics do. So that's pretty much the difference here with that. All right, I have some Mercury retrograde things to discuss, and if anyone is experiencing that now, I invite you to call in and you can commiserate. And that's the first time. Normally, I am always a silver lining girl. I don't care how dark that cloud is, I can always find a silver lining. I'm laughing at myself here. I've had several excellent astrologers as guests this past year who've all said, people freak out about Mercury retrograde, and that's happens 3 times a year for 3 weeks each time. And what it means is from the planet Earth, the planet Mercury appears to be going backwards in the sky as opposed to going forward. So where it had gotten up to 29 degrees of Capricorn instead of stepping over into Aquarius after that, it's now moving backwards in Capricorn and will be for the next 3 weeks. And I'm chuckling to myself because, like I said, I see silver linings. I am not one of those people that just say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, and throw my hands up and all the rest of that. And even when things look really bad, I know, if you wait long enough or if you get a different perspective on it, it can be a really good thing. But I am here to tell you today, this daggone Mercury retrograde, it's in Capricorn. So it does have to do with business and business dealings as much as anything else, with protocol, with support systems. And what happened the other morning when it went retrograde, I was up early doing, answering email and, doing what I do and all that. And I, went to check on to see if we'd gotten any orders or if there was any questions from clients and whatnot, because they generally email me at this one particular address on one of my websites. It's the mybirthchart.com website. And I'm looking and I'm getting all these error messages. And I thought, what the heck is this? Now, mind you, when I say I'm up early, it's 4 a.m. Eastern time. I'm not going to wake my husband up. There's nobody to call. I'm like, what is going on? So I went out to the internet and I looked, and sure enough, my birth chart is down. It's down. And I went over and I checked to searchbythestars.com, which is our other website, and that's the website that we use to promote the book Gift Giving by the Stars. So if you want to buy the book Gift Giving by the Stars, Search by the Stars is a good place to go. And we also have the free horoscopes up there every week, which is a good darn thing because my birth chart is down. Now, what I find out is I have to wait until 9 a.m. Central Time to call somebody and find out. So it's 10 a.m. here, and I'm thinking, you know, my chart is, my site is down, my site is down, you know, getting all frazzled about it. And the young lady on the phone says, well, I've got an email here that says we're discontinuing service as of October 31st. And I said, honey, you know, honey, it's way past October 31st, and two, yes, we were going to hop sites, or hop website servers. We're going to hop providers. But you all talked with us. You know, we reduced the price. We, you know, worked out some issues, and we stayed with you. That was it. We essentially were gone maybe 3 days, but we were there. We came back, and we have been paying ever since. And, you know, I've got a bill here that says, you know, paid in full for both sites. She says, well, this says we're canceling. Did you send an email? And I'm like, I don't know if I sent an email. I don't care if I sent an email. We've been hosted with you all. And I can see the communication, which is so Mercury, is getting ready to disintegrate. So I thought, okay, I'm the adult. I'm the big girl, right? So I'm going to pull myself back and say, you know, I don't know, you know, because she's still going on about emails and whatnot. I don't know about this email, but I really do desperately need to have this site up because this is how I make a living. You know, this is not just some little fun site I do on the side to keep me busy when I'm not being a full-time mom. This is how I put food on my table. I need this site back up. And she says, well, it's gone. And I'm like, what do you mean it's gone? She said, well, you know, that's what we do. When we wipe it out, it's just gone. She said, well, if you have one there, you know, if you have a backup, you can load it up. Now, I have been using computers since they came out, but I have no clue as to how to write software or do any of that. That's not my forte. It's not what I do. I'm an astrologer. You know, that's enough math in my life. Thank you very much. So I said, okay, I can see about getting it up, you know, having my husband, whenever he gets home, he can load it up, because Mary, the other office woman, she has no clue how to do that either. There's three of us here. Only one of the three can do this stuff. I said, but what about my email? What's happening with my email? And she said, well, it's just being returned to people. And I'm cringing. And I said, all right, when he gets home, I'll see. She said, well, I need $69 from you. I said, I beg your pardon. Well, to set you back up, I need a new setup fee. And at this time, I am no longer laughing at the fact that this is Mercury retrograde or thinking that it's amusing. I'm now fully irritated, which is not doing me personally any good either. And I'm like, what do you mean you need $69 to set us back up, for crying out loud? We've never left. I've got a receipt in my hand that says, you know, this is paid in full. Yes, but now I'm setting you back up again. So I said, dear, I just have to get off the phone right now. And I hung up. Where am I with that? Well, my birth chart is not set up yet. It's Thursday. It's been about 36 hours now. The site's been down. If any of you normally go to mybirthchart.com on Fridays to look up your free weekly horoscopes, I will invite you to go to searchbythestars.com to get those free sidereal horoscopes, and we'll see if this daggone site can get back up and running sometime in the near future. The only way to buy charts for me right now is snail mail, and if you need to get hold of me, you cannot use, because it'll come bouncing right back, the Deborah Dillard at mybirthchart.com, but you can go to Debs, D-E-B-S, that's Debs, at searchbythestars.com. So if any reason, if you're a client out there of mine, you're used to getting hold of me, you can use the office line, of course, but if you want to email, you can go to Debs, D-E-B-S, at searchbythestars.com, because for right now, that website's still working. All right, that's my Mercury retrograde story for the day. And as always, I've had several phone calls from people that I know saying, is Mercury retrograde again? Because either they're having generally communication problems, or things just start going wrong. They can't figure it out. The train tracks down here, the lights got stuck a while ago. I guess the lights were going and the barrier was down, but there was no train. So that's just kind of big old Mercury retrograde stuff. And any rate, you just kind of go with the flow and, take it in your stride. And I think that's probably the biggest test of all. You know, how are you going to react to it? It would have done me absolutely no good to yell at that young woman. At some point, I will put this in writing to the company, and I will more than likely jump web servers, only because our web hosters go to a new server, because, there was nothing on her part to say, gee, we made a mistake here. Oh, wow, I'm really sorry. Or, whatever I get. Let me see if I can get your email back up. Anything so you can communicate with customers. Nothing. Not a bit of that. Just like, oh, well, no, we lost it, and it's your fault somehow, and now you have to give us more money to set us up, set yourself up again for us wiping you out. That is such bad customer service. That is unbelievably bad. And I'm wondering, I have to go back and look at my notes, the last time Mercury was retrograde in Capricorn, did it become a customer service issue as much as anything else? Just people not willing to look at, I guess, the long view of customer relations. So I do make copious notes, and that is kind of the best way to be an astrologer or learn about astrology. If something goes on, no matter what you read in a book or what people say you should feel, think, or do, if you take notes and write it down, you can go back later on and look at that. All right, let's talk about Mercury retrograde, daggone. Let's talk about Mars going direct for a moment and today's chart. Mars has been in the constellation Gemini since September. Normally it's been 6 weeks in a constellation, so that means if you've got anything in Gemini, this time in Gemini because that's where Mars is, if you have your Sun, Moon, Venus, any of the planets whatsoever, you will have been feeling fairly strong effects of that part of your personality. Pressure in some way, shape, or form, either an excitement to do something or anger about issues you haven't dealt with or just sheer pressure. I got to do this. If you have your Saturn there, you may have been experiencing fear in some way, or you may have been experiencing the other side of having Mars on Saturn. You have been able to persuade people, get them to move to action, people that you normally would not be able to do. People either in another age group or another social sphere, they're the management and you're the little guy, but they're listening to you, which is a good thing. So it's not all bad. It's just a heck of a long time to have that Martian energy hanging around. And it's going to be there for another 3 months, actually. Now, it has just spent a couple of months retrograde, which means it was going backwards since November, actually. It is now finally, as of yesterday, stopped, and now it's going forward again, very slowly, but it's going forward. So if you have got your Sun in particular, or your Ascendant, or your midheaven in Gemini, then you are going to be starting not only a new phase of your life, but a very important one because of all the time Mars has spent there. So anyone who has that, if you haven't got a grand plan, now's the time. Don't waste any more time. Now is the time to write one for yourself and get moving. And this is people who are normally born somewhere between June 16th and July 16th. Very different dates than what tropical astrologers will give you. But between June 16th and July 16th, and that's going to vary year to year. It might be June 15th one year, might be June 17th another year, because of leap years, because of the international dateline. But if you're born somewhere between June 16th and July 16th, you can think, I should have something in Gemini. If not my Sun, then perhaps my Venus or my Mercury. And so you'll be starting a new phase of your life there. If you are not the type that likes to lose their temper, let's talk it out. We can talk it out. I'll be peaceful. You have been sorely pressed to lose your temper. And I would tell you that's not such a bad thing, to get out. It is okay, you know, to be angry about stuff. You know, it's what you do with that anger. That's what makes a difference. But the worst thing you can do is stuff your anger. You know, absolutely. You know, keep it to yourself. So you get mad at something, you know, you might go, you know, stomping around the backyard and, you know, go run somewhere, or, you know, simply tell them, man, I'm really ticked off at you. Don't have to do anything about it, and you certainly don't have to eat 5 pounds of cookies. You know, it's a lot of us run to the cabinet there. It's like, okay, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to eat a lot of sugar kind of thing. You don't have to do that, but if you've got, you know, if you're mad about something, now is certainly the time to say so. And, you know, you can do this from between now and the end of April, saying, you know, I am just mad about this. I'm not blaming you. I'm not pointing my finger. I'm not, you know, saying I'm devoid of responsibility, but daggone it, I'm mad. You know, and that in itself is helpful, just to do that. Particularly now, and I'll tell you why, is because Mars is trining. It is a wide, wide trine. Yeah, it's a wide trine. And it won't be getting any better over the weekend. Mercury and Neptune. So, you know, you can say that, you know, just out loud. You know, I'm mad about this, and I'd really like to discuss this. Or I'm mad about it, and I don't want to discuss it, but I'm just letting you know this is where I am. And then you can come back later on to do that. So hopefully that's helpful to some of you. Men will certainly start acting more like, you know, the whole cave guy thing again. For the last couple of months, they've certainly been Alan Alda's, you know, sensitive New Age guys. Very sweet, very much in touch with their emotions. And that's lovely for about the first 2 weeks. And then, quite frankly, women won't tell you this, but they get, they've had enough. You know, they've had enough. It's like, can you stop being emotional? You know, I'm supposed to be the emotional one. Stop being emotional. Let me, you know, you're not a child, you know. And the emotions will range, too, between being very sensitive and gentle to, again, actually just being angry about stuff because they don't know what to do with that sensitiveness. It's like, okay, I'm frustrated because I can't fix it. You know, that's generally a guy thing. You know, they'll hear a woman saying, you know, she's blowing off steam. And they're thinking, all right, what does she want me to fix? What does she want me to do? And quite frankly, we're just blowing off steam. We don't want you to do anything but listen. That's not how men usually operate. It's like, okay, if I'm talking about it, that must mean I want to do something about it or you know, something about it. You know, have some action here. And during the Mars retrograde, it's very tough. So people ease out better and kind of feel better about that, which is nice. The eclipse next week. I do want to talk about that. Particularly, now the eclipse is happening on February 6th. Is it super? It's February 5th. I should know what day that is. That is a... that Tuesday? It should definitely, because we politics, we always do things on Tuesday. February 5th is a Tuesday, of course. So we have Super Tuesday, I think that's what they're calling it, and have called it, where, you know, all the states, you know, put forth, you know, who they want, Republican or Democrat, you know, to run, you know, 6 months from now, 7 months from now. And on February 5th, I had to look. Now, if anyone would like me to, I will certainly look for the Republican, but I think that's pretty much sewn up with McCain, who's a darn liberal Republican. But the two front runners, and about the only two left, of course, in the Democratic Party are Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, with John Edwards dropping out. Kind of surprised me he dropped out, but that does leave him open to be a vice presidential contender. So that was probably a smart thing to do. I don't know what he's going to do with his votes. Well, I'll see what he's going to do with his votes. We'll make predictions here. All right, Hillary Clinton. Let's look at Hillary Clinton's chart first for the eclipse, which is the day after. I want to look at it on the day of the Super Tuesday there. And okay, got it. All right, Hillary Clinton was born October 26, 1947, at 8:10 p.m., Chicago, Illinois. When she was born, the sun was in Libra, 9 degrees of Libra. And that is the way to think of her. She's got a fifth house packed in Libra. She's got the sun, she has Chiron, she has Venus, she has Mercury all there. She is a Gemini rising. So where that Mars has been pounding on her, it's been pounding on her to redo her public image. And for some reason that has always been a problem with her, very much like it was Eleanor Roosevelt. You kind of wonder why. What is it about this country that says we want our women to be smart, we want them to be assertive, we want them to be good moms, which she certainly is. You look at her daughter. I mean, her daughter is any mother would be proud to say, yes, I raised. She doesn't do things like the Bush's daughters, stick their tongue out at reporters or get in trouble in Brazil or various, make fun of their grandmother on public television. I mean, Chelsea Clinton is an ideal presidential child. She does well in school. She gets along with people. She does her public service stuff. And she seems to be a genuinely charming young woman who's borne the brunt of, her father's infidelities while he was in school, with as much grace and dignity as you would expect, more than what you expect any child doing. So she's been a great mom, and that packed fifth house, all these planets of hers in her fifth house would say that. But when women like this are in public life, they get so much flack from the media. It's like, we say we like this, we say we want this, but then when we have it, we turn around and say, we pick it apart, is what we do, we just pick it apart. At any rate, so what she's had happen, and anybody with sidereal Gemini rising, what she has had happen since September is a complete remake of her public image. And this will continue on. Now, traditionally, and I was discussing this with Allison Broman, Visible by the Numbers, the lady BBS host here, last spring when we were looking at all this. And I said, usually when people have transiting Saturn at the bottoms of their charts, it's beneath the horizon, they don't win elections. Saturn has got to be transiting up. And it may be because I'm such a Clinton fan, both Hillary and Bill, yes, I'll say that out loud, that I want so much, pardon me for her to win. I'm joking now because I'm not being objective. But the Saturn is down here. During the inauguration, Saturn will have moved to her fourth house, which means a change in residence. And that was with her and John Edwards also. So I said, well, it is an angular house. It could, because again, I'm fully admitting here, that's the ticket I would have liked to have seen was a Hillary Clinton and John Edwards ticket. That they're both going to be moving residences, changing residences come the inauguration, or right shortly thereafter. So she's still redoing her image. I think she's still in the run, particularly with Mars being in that first house, because her whole, even though it's not what's called a Mars return, which she will be having starting in May, which is you start a whole new phase of your life, and it's a usually two-year phase is what, people with Mars, 2 and 2.5 years, and then you pick that up again another 2 years later. That would fit in very nicely for the presidential bid. For February 5th itself, she's got a couple of, they're called quincunxes, not the best aspects for winning anything in general. However, if you combine, you do with a combined chart of Hillary and Bill Clinton, and this would be very much, both of them succeeding in this, doing in this, being a part of this, you get this very interesting thing that happens. You get transiting Jupiter, which is ever so sweet, trining their combined Mars in the second house, and it's 6 to the 2nd. So it has to do with work, it has to do with integrity, it has to do with public image. That's darn good. That Mars now is sitting right on top of, transiting Mars, is sitting right on top of what's called the Uranus, their combined Uranus, which is sitting on top of hers anyway, normally in the first house. This is the 12th house. So power behind the scenes, things happening, you know, behind these closed doors. And I don't know, looks darn good. Absolutely looks darn good for her. I mean, and that's, you know, that's going to decide stuff. 3-6, yeah, it's their combined chart. Now, looking at what's happening with Barack Obama, who has done phenomenal, you know, for somebody who, you know, if somebody had said this, you know, 2.5 years ago, they would have said, who? You know, Barack who? You know, what's this guy's name? Oh, yeah, he wrote a book. And that would have been as far as it went. This guy has come a long way. He has got, now he was born August 4th, 1961, at 1:06 p.m. in Honolulu, Hawaii. Okay, so it's August 4th, 1961, very young, and, well, very young, you know, for a president. His son is in Cancer. It is 18 degrees of Cancer. It is not in Leo, as an astrologer would think it is. But he does have a lot of different things in Leo, including his North Node and his Uranus, part of Fortune, Pluto, and Mars. So he's packed, 11th house in Leo. He's got Saturn transiting all of that, because Saturn is transiting in Leo right now for the next couple of years. Okay, so that is, you know, it is pressure, and it is, it usually takes away from, but it is honors. It's also honors. What I don't like is Saturn is going down in his chart, and during the inauguration it will be in the 12th house. Not a very good place to have it if you want to get elected, because it's now, it's like I said, it's moving down towards his chart. With that south node up on that north node, this happens, for everyone, just to let you know, it's a 36-year cycle, okay, so every 18 years, and you get this, people turn 18, they turn 36, and, you know, 18 years after that, 36 years after that, they'll lose something to gain something else. So 18, you know, you get the right to vote, you gain a lot of responsibility, but you lose a piece of your childhood. You're not a kid anymore. You can't do a lot of things anymore without getting into big trouble, you know, kind of thing. So, and same thing with 36. 36 is kind of a tipping point where, particularly if you're not married at that time, people are looking at you, okay, well, it's time to grow up and get serious. Okay, so you grow up and get serious, but where does that leave you? You know, the gray hairs start coming in. And you see this with people around the age of 36. The ones who, they step out of, okay, I can't, you know, stay up all night anymore and party the way I used to. You know, it's like my body's just not, you know, functioning the same way. You give that up, but what you do, you move into a part of your life where you do get more responsibility, of course, and you get more opportunities, and you just move, you move into a much more, I want to say, respectable phase, just by nature of the fact that the gray hairs are starting to come in, and people look at you and say, okay, well, you know, they've got a little bit of experience. I can trust what they're saying and doing now. So, but during that, you lose something to give something up. So here we go with him, and the eclipse is coming right on top of that. That's the part that says there's a loss there somewhere, big old loss. Now, yeah, I've got to go with Hillary Clinton getting it. I just do, looking between the two of them. And it's not just because I would like to see her on the ticket. He's got Mars up in his ninth house. There's a lot of travel, a lot of speaking. He's got the king's ear, so to speak. And he's got a decent chart. The man has got a decent chart. I think he'd make a good leader in, I don't know, another 8 years? You know, just a little bit more experience there where he would just, he'd blossom. You know, again, just a bit more experience. But he doesn't look like I said, I don't see any way, I don't see any great, I don't see any trines, I don't see anything that says yippee-ki-yay. I'm doing it the way I'm supposed to be doing it. I just don't. So we'll see what happens, but that's my prediction. I think Hillary's going to get it looking at these two. And Mercury's retrograde, so absolutely anything can happen, of course, and it generally does. I'm sure all of you remember, this is typical Mercury retrograde. We had Mercury retrograde begin on an election day. What was that, 8 years ago? Yeah, very famous election day when Al Gore and Bush were running. Mercury stationed and went retrograde at that day. And we didn't find out who won the election until 3 weeks later when all the daggone Florida votes had been counted and recounted and counted again when Mercury went direct. And, you know, what, and of course, everything we looked at the polls, Al Gore actually won the popular vote but lost by electoral votes. That college, he lost by those votes. And it's like, wow, is that, you know, okay, maybe we ought to redo the system or something, or maybe the system works the way it's supposed to, you know, depending on, you know, long-range views there. But it was just such a Mercury retrograde thing, with the Super Tuesday votes all being during Mercury retrograde the day before an eclipse. We won't have the voting machine problems, but we may very well have some other problems. Looking at the United States chart, I'm going to look at two different United States charts. One is called the Hauck USA chart, which I think Hololi Richter, for those of you who've done astrology for a long, long time, it was the chart that she used. It was a chart dated for the Continental Congress, June 19th, 1776, at 11:53:50, it's been rectified, a.m., LMT time, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Can't remember historically, had, you know, most of the majority decided then what to do, you know, or not, you know, why the June 19th date was important. And I know some astrologers have said it has absolutely, you know, it doesn't have any historical context that they can find, but I can tell you that this chart works. So that's one reason I generally refer to it. It has Virgo rising, just like another July 4th chart. That's good to use. But at any rate, because we're certainly a Virgo rising nation. I mean, we act so Virgo rising. At any rate, I'll get back to February 5th. Now, all eyes have been on the United States, and it usually is. You know, that's just one of those statements that people who don't follow astrology say, you know, it's a blanket statement. But all eyes really have been on the United States critically since last September, you know, importantly since last September, and will continue with Mars transiting, whether it's retrograde or direct, transiting the 10th house. It's 0 degrees. It's not doing much of anything. Except it's going direct now. There is nothing in this chart that says we are ready for a tremendous amount of change on next Tuesday. Now, is it more change? Which is more change? Putting a woman as a front runner, which we've never had before. We've had Geraldine Ferraro. I guess she ran with Mondale way back when. And we have had one Catholic president. I mean, I know it must sound odd saying, well, gee, was that different? Yes, when everybody else has been Protestant. And here we have a gentleman who is half, I guess, African-American African-American, because his father was actually from Africa. His father is a Muslim. He's familiar with the Muslim religion, certainly, and I'm not quite sure how else he was raised. That's very different. Now, nothing wrong with that, but is the United States ready for that? You know, it's, like I said, we say we like change, we're going to embrace change and all the rest of that, but it's human nature to only want to have so much change at a time. It'll be interesting to see what exactly we do with that as a country. When we go for the inauguration, Saturn will be moving into the United States' first house, and we will be having another Saturn return and another, depending on how you look at it, another couple years after that. So we'll certainly be ready for lots of change then. And that's what I'm saying. It's far-fetched. I don't know. It almost seems to have a woman, you know, running as president on that front ticket. I don't think that is as far-reaching. I could be wrong. You know, far-reaching as putting a gentleman here whose father was from another country, loved another country, died in another country. You know, that's part of it. It's like, you know, where is this gentleman's allegiance? You know, he certainly is an American. He's raising his girls here and has done an excellent job. He's worried about being, you know, I give Obama full marks on trying to do the right thing as a dad, and particularly as, you know, public life has now taken him right to where his father's life went, which he said he never wanted to do. But now he sees, you know, it's like, how are you a good dad? How are you there in your children's lives if what you have to do career-wise, what you're calling to do is taking you away from the home life? And, you know, good luck for him with working all that out. But, you know, he's a decent family man. He's got good values, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of things going for him. But I just, and like I said, I could very well be wrong. But, okay, so we're looking at the United States chart. And I don't, like I said, I don't see where the United States looks like anything shocking is going to happen. And I would expect something, you know, some sort of shock value to happen, even though it's not the actual election. Now, very important, later on in the month of February, transiting Uranus will be squaring the United States Venus. We could very well. I'll tell you what that means in a person's life. In a person's life, when you have transiting Uranus takes 84 years to get around from wherever it was when you were born to, you know, where to get back to where it was. So you may not experience, depending on how long you live, of course, all of the combinations of Uranus on your own personal Venus. But these are the kind of things that happen when it does. When Uranus trines your Venus, you tend to fall in love or have a passion, a very romanticized passion, and it grows and grows and grows, and there's this crush, feeling of this crush on something. It can be a hobby. Very often it's like, you know, you get into something and just lose yourself and you absolutely love it. When it is, it can be, you know, a person, but often a hobby. When it is a square or an opposition in particular, sort of opposition, but when it's a square, you will fall in love with instantly someone that you were not raised to fall in love with. Well, maybe we could do Obama then. Well, anyway, but you're not raised to fall in love with. And this actually happened to my husband, so I know this, how this works in real life. When Uranus was squaring his natal Venus, he met me and apparently fell in love quite quickly, even though I had not noticed that myself for another couple years. But I was nothing like, you know, my family is nothing like his family. I mean, completely nothing. I mean, absolutely zip, 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 nothing. You know, you compare. We don't cook the same. We don't listen to the same kind of music. I mean, nothing, 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 nothing. And, you know, he instantly fell in love with this woman who is nothing like his mother, which is unusual because men usually, you know, gravitate towards women that have characteristics similar to their mothers, whether they want to admit it or not, and vice versa. Women tend to gravitate towards men who have characteristics similar to their fathers, you know, unless, of course, you've gone through lots of therapy to get rid of that stuff, but that's what we do. It's human nature. And until, you know, you have something will drop out of the sky, essentially, and you will fall in love with someone who is nothing as how you were raised. the United States, I think, will fall in love with, it's usually a woman, but it's only an idea that we had not quite realized before. It's like she's been there all along, but all of a sudden we see her. The same aspect also, and it may have much broader reasons for that, because we are still tied to England. The same aspect, and I had put this up on blogger.com. If you go to Horoscope Lady on blogger.com, you should be able to read what I wrote about the Queen of England. I think she's going to be stepping down as soon as April, but stepping down, and Charles will be coming into his own by next fall. He'll be crowned then. Stepping down or passing away, I'm hoping it's just stepping down. Her husband's health certainly doesn't look that good, but that's kind of, so we may, experience this, because this is big. This is the United States, so this is everybody in the country. We may experience where we're looking towards the Queen of England and, actually feeling good about her as opposed to people picking on her because she simply hasn't done anything bad or undignified. And but it's, now we got that coming. I don't think, if you do have personally in your own chart transiting Uranus that is either conjunct your Venus or opposed your Venus, sometimes there is certainly a loss of a woman. She leaves in some way, shape, or form. And that could be death. That could, if somebody's older, it could be divorce. It could be, they've just, moved away, and you never get a chance again. For some people, depending on how they feel about, like if their daughter's very close to them and their daughter marries somebody who is in the military or something and travels. So not only is their daughter out of their life because, she's married, she's simply, physically they can't get hold of her. She's gone. So it doesn't mean gone as in, I'll never see you again, but no longer available, no longer around. So you have that going on, if that's what is happening personally in your own chart. But for the United States, it's something different. Now, I wanted to open up this other United States chart to look. This is called, and I forget who did this chart originally, but it was introduced to me by a gentleman. He's a tropical astrologer and a Hellenistic astrologer. But I will tell you, an excellent astrologer anyway, particularly where the Hellenistic, I do admire the Hellenistic astrologers. They're smart. They do their research. They go back to the roots and they check stuff out. They don't say things flippantly. I just wish they'd use the correct zodiac, but there you go. So I call this the Boyd White chart, and it's July 6, 1775. Now he calls it the War chart. It's 11:05 a.m. LMT time, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And this is actually, it was July 6, 1775, when the United States actually declared war on Great Britain. Here, I have to adjust this one chart, if you bear with me for 1 minute. And we actually did that. We declared war on Great Britain the year before we declared our independence, and Britain pretty much ignored us. But, and personally, I don't blame them. It's like, what do you mean they're declaring war over there? It wasn't until we declared our independence that got anybody's attention. But this chart has worked beautifully every time the United States had, when I say works beautifully, it has definite contacts. It lights up anytime we've gone to war or anytime we've finished a war. Or any time of national stress or strife kind of things, including, big strikes that have frozen the nation, kind of thing. We're at war with ourselves. So again, so it's July 6, 1775, 11:05 a.m. LMT time, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of course, because that was our capital then. All right. This is, it's a terrific chart, February 5th and 6th, too. Jupiter, it's not retrograde, but it's hanging around that part of fortune, so that's good. Saturn is it's coming back to that Venus in our 12th house, transiting Saturn. Yeah, to me, it's just looking more and more like we go ahead and put a woman up for election. And that's something. Well, there you go. I'd love to see it. That would be amazing. But the chart has the same thing happening with Barack Obama does as far as the nodes are concerned. The north node is on the south node is on the north node. And so you have this interesting kind of karmic connection between this war chart and Barack Obama's chart, and on Super Tuesday in particular. But I do not see, one more time, I do not see anything outside of that one connection that says that we do anything out of the extraordinary, out of the ordinary, that particular day. So we've got in this chart, because it has the sun is actually 23 degrees Gemini, it's Uranus is trining that. So we'd be trining our natal sun if you're even using a July 4th chart, 1776. So it looks like innovations, it looks like changes, but not shocking. It's the difference between a trine, that's what I was saying, you fall in love with something gently, you're excited about something in a gentle way. The difference between a trine, transiting trine, and a transiting square in what's happening in a person's chart as well as a nation's chart. And this says a nice, a more gentle change as opposed to the shocking change which is in the other chart. Well, we will see. We will just see. This is pretty darn amazing and pretty darn exciting times here. The Republicans, of course, are very fussy about McCain being the front runner. Well, some Republicans, at any rate, because he has voted liberal on so many things. And I thought, well, that could work too. I do have John McCain's chart. Let me just look that up 1 minute. I can't help. I have to see John McCain. See what he is doing. It's once again, it's an amazing thing for what who was leading. Giuliani, of course, looked real good, you know, at the beginning of all that, and he's just recently dropped out. You know, enough is enough, and he will, throw his votes to one of the front runners. Yeah, see, John McCain has got Saturn transiting Saturn, rolling back and forth over his sun, which sounds bad, but it's not for this type of thing. If you want to come off as respectable, it is hard, it is grueling. Okay, John McCain, everyone, was born August 29th, 1936. Got a 9 a.m. time on him. Ooh, that's 2-9 a.m., but it's 9 a.m. Cocosolo, Panama. Pardon me, he was born in Panama. An American, of course. His parents, I guess, were diplomats. And someone can call me in and correct me on that one. I'm not sure what his, were they businessmen or they weren't Democrats, diplomats down there. But his son, again, Saturn is dropping in his chart. It doesn't look like someone who wins, but it'll be going into his first house also, an angular house. When George Bush was elected the second time, Saturn had crossed into his first house. Which is an angular house, a very personal house, and, just making things as tough as it could be. Yes, we went to war. That's pretty darn tough. Same thing. So say he's got Saturn, John McCain transiting Saturn, sitting on his 13-degree Leo sun. Anyone born August 29th of any year, you're going to be a sun sign Leo, and you're going to have the sun around 13 degrees, you know, maybe 12, maybe 14, but it's going to be around 13 degrees there. A lot of pressure, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of people expecting a lot of things out of you. And, you know, if you've got any sort of experience or grace or dignity or even just enough desire, you can live up to these expectations and surpass them. But it is a lot of pressure. It is a lot of pressure. Uranus is coming up on his Saturn, which shakes his world up completely. And I'm going to see if I can get a exact time on that for what date, because if it's coming up on during the election, then we know, daggone, he is going to blast him out of that. Oh, goodness gracious. Hold on one time. I'm having a Mercury retrograde thing. I want to go out 1 year, not 1 month. Okay, and let's look at this. In November, nada. I don't see anything in November for him. Not using Uranus at any rate. It's April and August that Uranus is on his Saturn. And for that matter, anyone born around August 29th, 1936, their life shakes up, you know, in great ways, blast apart in some ways. Certainly April and August, if it hasn't done it before that. So, but he doesn't seem to be having a whole lot. So you would expect, if someone's going to win, for lots of things to be happening around that month. Some aspects will be, you know, soft, which are the trines and the sextiles, and others will be hard, which are the conjunctions, the squares, or the oppositions. And, you know, people feel that very strongly as to what they're doing. So we're almost out of time here. So I do want to remind you that you cannot go, at least as of Thursday evening, cannot go to mybirthchart.com to get your free horoscopes, sidereal horoscopes this week, but you can go to searchbythestars.com and get your free horoscopes, and very soon they will be posted right here on BBS Radio. This is so Mercury retrograde, as well as and alongside other products we'll be selling at the BBS Bazaar, including my charts, which you normally can get through mybirthchart.com. And I do want to invite everyone to support the host that you enjoyed listening to on this fine station, because you're not going to hear us everywhere else. BBS has, you know, it's a hallmark of just quality radio that you will not find everywhere else. You will hear things here that, you know, just don't fit into normal broadcasting other places. You can hear other, certainly astrology stations, other astrologers, other places, but there's very few places that will, you know, host a sidereal astrologer, and one that is a little bit different than most of the others. So I will invite you to buy my book, Gift Giving by the Stars, on searchbythestars.com or amazon.com, particularly with Valentine's Day coming up. If you have any gift ideas, need any gift ideas outside of the flowers and dinner, and gee, what do I get him? Do I get him a tie? You can get a copy of Gift Giving by the Stars. If you order it through our website, searchbythestars.com, I will autograph it for you. But again, you can get it through Amazon, and you can always go to most of the libraries in the California Library System and over here in Fairfax, Virginia, and quite a few in Arizona, and order the book or, you know, get the book from the library. Let me see. One more thing I wanted to do before we are out of here this evening, and hopefully the weather won't be affecting people too badly. Oh, solar annual eclipse again on that. Just wanted to talk very, very briefly on that Hauk chart. That's what it was I didn't look at. Okay, the eclipse is going to be at 23 degrees Capricorn. It is a solar annular eclipse. It's a strong eclipse. 2 weeks later, we will have a total lunar eclipse, which will be exceptionally strong. But in Capricorns and people born in around February 6th, February 8th, somewhere in there, they are going to be feeling this a lot more than people born in other times of the month. Same thing on the opposite end of, you know, Cancer for people born with their degrees around 23 degrees of anything. There is always a loss around eclipse. People feel jittery. They do not feel grounded. So everybody, this week, eat nice grounding foods, comfort foods, we call them. Not a lot of sugar. you know, things that help keep you, you know, feeling solid, feeling to your core, get enough sleep, and drink plenty of water. And I will talk to you next week on February 7th, which is the Chinese New Year, and we'll have a Chinese astrologer here to share her wisdom and advice about the Year of the Rat. Bye now.